People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
For sale signs are springing up everywhere, and houses remain on the market far longer than in recent memory. Yet rental fees, at least in San Francisco and in the neighboring areas along transit lines, are going nowhere but up. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, where today's guest is Carol Lloyd. In addition to writing fiction, essays, and feature articles in numerous publications, Carol wrote a weekly column in the San Francisco Chronicle called Surreal Estate on the Bay Area's housing crisis. Carol's the author of the well-known book Creating a Life Worth Living and has been leading workshops since its publication in 1997 to help people realize their dreams. So, Carol, was writing about housing one of your dreams, or was it your dream to find affordable housing in San Francisco?
I think it started out with our own first home search. But my father was an architect, and my mom had always been interested in fixing up houses. So I felt at a certain point that my genetic, my genes dominated my reality, and I had to start writing about real estate.
And you've been writing about real estate in a very interesting time.
Yeah, and that's the only probably reason why I decided to do it, because I'm really thinking of myself as more of a cultural journalist, and this was what the culture was thinking about.
When you first started writing your column, it was a very different period of time. The housing market was completely different than it is now, right?
Yeah, it was right at the peak of the NASDAQ, right when the dot-com started to go bad, and real estate had been sort of crazed, riding the back of the dot-com era, and all of a sudden NASDAQ started to plummet and real estate started to go up even faster because people were pulling their money out of the stock market and pouring it into houses in the Bay Area.
As though it could never be otherwise.
Yes.
We've learned differently.
Yes.
So there's a housing crisis throughout the nation. In what ways is that different in the San Francisco Bay Area than it is elsewhere?
Well, I think things are worse here in many ways, in the sense that it's less affordable here and better for those people who are homeowners, because the real estate is a more resilient market and they're not going to lose their shirts. We're probably not going to have the crazy foreclosure rates of, say, Stockton in downtown San Francisco. So I think in the long term, people who bought here won't probably be as hit as hard by a real estate downturn. On the other hand, it's not becoming affordable for people who don't own. And for renters, it's only becoming worse, because there still are jobs here and people are still drawn to this area. And the rich are drawn to buying here, even if they don't live here. So huge neighborhoods are becoming areas for second homes, like Pacific Heights is filled with streets and streets of not really occupied mansions that are second homes for people who live in Hong Kong or New York.
So Northern California and the Bay Area in particular have been at the forefront of affordable housing development. And when I say affordable, I'm saying affordable housing in quotes. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, I guess it's the sort of progressive liberal legacy, and because there's been a need, and there's always been a strong tenant advocacy here, which has been a really serious, at least in San Francisco, and I think because it's a majority of renters in San Francisco, which is unlike a lot of other cities in the nation, they have a strong political perspective. They can get politicians, and those politicians then look after their interest. And that spawns some interesting legislation that then gets taken up in Oakland and San Jose, and it kind of spreads out to the rest of the city or the rest of the Bay Area, even though maybe those areas don't have rent control or they don't have those essential laws that are tenant laws.
Well, clearly there needs to be an incentive for developers to build affordable housing. You did a column recently about inclusionary housing measures in which you wrote about an analysis from NYU's Furman Center for Real Estate and Urban Policy that compared the effects of inclusionary zoning here in the Bay Area to that of Boston, Massachusetts. So first off, why don't you explain what inclusionary zoning is, and then we'll talk about that study.
inclusionary zoning is an increasingly popular tool of counties and cities where they enact a law telling a developer that over a certain number of units, if they decide to build a building more than 10 units, that a certain percentage of those units must be sold or rented out as affordable units. And in San Francisco, it's it's very complicated law, but it ranges between, say, 15% and 20%. And for any unit, for any building over 10 units. Now, every county and every city sort of writes the laws differently. And this study was looking at what is actually effective, because what they found in over half the counties in suburban Boston, they had not even produced a single unit of affordable housing. This law had not produced any.
How could that be?
Developers had figured out a way to get around it. Maybe they set the limit too high. So, for instance, they said it's any units over 20 units. So then developers go out and they say they do, you know, 20, 19 unit developments on separate lots. And they've avoided creating any affordable housing at all.
And that's not what's happened in the Bay Area.
No, the laws have been better written here. And they've also included usually a flexibility and allowing developers to do something called an in-lieu fee, which is that they can pay into an affordable housing fund. And then the city's responsible for either farming that money out to an affordable housing developer or developing the housing themselves.
So what do we learn from this? Flexibility works.
Flexibility works. You don't turn the developer into the enemy, but write the law in such a way that they can't get around it either. So if their job is to make money, they're going to try to get around the law if they can. On the other hand, if you create it too inflexibly, they won't do any development at all. It'll be too difficult.
The way that affordable housing developments work is that people have to prove that they are at or below a certain median income level. Mm-hmm. When we look at the kind of trends that are happening now with foreclosures and then rental fees going up, do you think that eventually there's going to have to be a change in what that median income level is that qualifies you for affordable housing? Because it's one of those situations like with healthcare where true middle class people or lower middle class people are going to fall right between the cracks. They're not going to be able to qualify for affordable housing, nor are they going to be able to find an apartment that they can afford.
Right. And that's already a fact here in San Francisco. Myrna Melgar, the housing, she's the head of a home ownership programs for the mayor's office of housing, recently gave a talk about how 120% of the median income is the threshold for getting affordable housing.
For buying a home, though, not for rental. Is it also for rental here?
Well, yes. Okay. I think so, yeah. And then for 175% of median income is what you need to earn in order to be to afford a market rate home. So most people fall in between those, or not most, but a huge percentage of the population fall in between those. So all of California, all of the Bay Area has that problem, which is affordable housing is great for those people who get it, but there's a huge number of people who need more affordable housing who would never, ever qualify.
So how do you think we're going to be able to provide?
I think there needs to be a lot more development, and I think the development that needs to be built needs to be smaller and simpler housing, because a lot of what's built is either this massive luxury homes or affordable housing units, which are subsidized and maybe quite nice. The new developments are often quite nice. And there's very little just simpler production, and that's high density, but not maybe it doesn't need to be subsidized as much, because from the beginning it's a less expensive product.
Interesting. Where do you see things moving in the coming months and years? Do you have a sense at all of where the trends will play out?
Well, I think that what's interesting is that I think we haven't really been, the inner Bay Area hasn't really been hit yet by the change in the economy. And so I think it's lagging behind. And so I think there will be some pain felt in the real estate market in the next couple of years. And I think that will stall building. And I think that then when things start to pick up again, there will again be a crisis because there won't be enough housing. Because already, even though there's a lot of people can't afford the housing, they can't afford the housing for two reasons. One is because there's been this bubble, but the other has been because there's so much demand, and that's not going to change. So if we slow down production, which I think could happen to a lot of developers who feel like, oh, this project won't pencil out, we can't afford this.
And meanwhile, the cost of materials keeps going up and up and up.
Extremely. That's an incredibly important point, because in the long run, building codes, complicated urban planning laws that developers have to work around, and the building costs are all going to create a situation where housing is more expensive than ever.
Not to mention the need and desire to be green.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily cheaper.
No, that's true. Although at some point one hopes that that comes around and it pays for itself.
So you think this is phase one of the crisis?
Yeah. I think we haven't seen the end of it.
Okay. Carol Lloyd, thanks so much for joining us today on the Affordable Housing Podcast.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.